Good evening, class. We are going to be talking about today the character of delegated authority is graciousness. That's chapter 14 in your book, if you want to follow along in your book. And it begins saying that Moses' first reaction toward rebellion was that he fell on his face. Now, this whole chapter is very lengthy, but we're going to try to dissect it part by part and try to see exactly what kind of character a delegated authority should have when faced with opposition. Now, if you're any kind of delegated authority, you're going to be faced with opposition. But the key to being an authority is how you handle the opposition. And God gave us a good example in the 16th chapter of Numbers of just how Moses, one of the greatest leaders God ever had in the Old Testament, how he handled this opposition from those people that he was leading out of Egypt. And notice, Moses was a leader, and those that were in opposition with him were leaders. So you're going to see a double take on authority. Those that were delegated by God on two different levels. Them that were supposed to submit, and Moses being the one in authority. But graciousness is one of the characters of authority. And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. So when we teach this class, or as I teach this class, I want you to pay attention to how Moses reacted when he faced a lot of these challenges and how God responded when these challenges came. And thirdly, how the people responded, those that were under Moses' delegated authority. Now, I'm going to begin with this statement. There can be no rebellion on the part of the Israelite more serious than that which is recorded in the 16th chapter of Numbers. And we're going to see that. If you follow along in your Bible, that's fine. But I'm going to stick with the book pretty much today, because the book is pretty detailed, step by step. I don't want to miss a step concerning what happened in this 16th chapter of Numbers. But a watchman, he detailed it very closely. And we're going to follow his points, and then we're going to understand exactly how this situation was handled by Moses. The leader of the rebellions was Korah, Levi, and Dathan, or Dathan. Dathan, let me read it back. The leader of the rebellion was Korah, the son of Levi, joined by Dathan and Abiram, sons of Reuben, and supported by 250 leaders of the congregation. So now we got the scene set. Moses, the one authority, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 leaders that were chosen among them. And if you read your Bible, it says they were renowned men. They were men that were classified as important men that had voice. When I say had voice, people respected. People respected these 250 men. So just because someone respected by people, that don't mean they're honored by God. Remember that statement. You're not going to find that one in your book. Just because men are honored by people, that don't mean they're recognized by God as delegated leaders. Because people have got their own idea of what leadership should be. And because they have their own idea of what leadership should be, it tends to throw other people off, because then they're looking for human characteristic in leadership. And so you're not going to find it here, not under Moses, okay? So 250 renowned men, the Bible said, that were set as leaders. So if we're going to look at this situation, I want you to pay close attention to two parts here. Two main points in what we're about to present is, number one, what was Moses' personal state and attitude? What was it? How did Moses personally dealt with this situation within himself? I'm not talking about the people right now. I'm talking about we pinpointing Moses' characteristic. And also his attitude. What was his attitude toward handling this situation? And the second thing we wanted to pay close attention to, how did Moses react to the crisis and how he answered the rebellious one? How he reacted to the crisis, and secondly, how he answered the rebellious one. Now, in authority, the way you react and the way you answer determine how much grace you have, how much of an authority that you really are, and how much you understand authority, the way you react and the way you respond. Okay? Now, Moses' first reaction was, what was it, class? He fell upon his face. Moses fell upon his face. That's verse 4. And this verified the attitude every servant of God should have. He fell upon his face. He prostrated himself on the ground before God, which let us see that he was directing this whole crisis to God. He made no attempt at all to defend his position, even though they came with many accusations. You can see many accusations coming from Moses. He didn't respond to any one of them, but he fell prostrate before God. And then he letting them know by his action that this is not between you and me. My goodness, this is between God. This is between you and God. You can look at me if you, like you want, but you're going to find yourself fighting against God. And Moses separated himself and put these people directly under God's authority, letting them know that you're not fighting me, but you're fighting God. My goodness, you don't want to get to a point where you think you're fighting men, but really you're fighting God. Moses knew authority, and Moses knew who called him. And Moses remembered the burning bush, and Moses had the revelation. And so God had to deal with the people accordingly. Now, Moses' first reaction was that he fell upon his face, and the people were excited, and so many were speaking, but Moses alone was prostrating himself upon the ground. We are confronted by one who knows authority. Moses didn't know authority, and that's why he prostrated himself before God on the ground. Being truly gentle, he was empty of personal feeling. He neither defended himself nor got stirred up. He didn't get angry. He didn't respond from the flesh. He didn't take this personally because he knew personally that he was not the one they were attacking. See, when authority recognized that, class, that personally, you know, as an authority, they're not attacking me, but they're attacking God, you respond differently. But if you take it personally, then you got your authority wrong. You think you're really the one that got the authority. Then you're really the one that got to make all the correction. And you're the one that got to make the judgment. We're going to find out Moses made no correction. Moses made no judgment. He really put this thing between him and God. So God had to, the people had to deal with God, not him. They saw him, but they couldn't see God in him. I'm going to say it again. They saw Moses, but they couldn't see God's authority in Moses. And that's a dangerous position to be. Whenever you have a delegated authority that's over you, you need to see not them, but the authority of God in them. And if you have delegated authority yourself, and you want the people to see the authority of God and not you, they always should know that you stand before God for them, and not you standing in God's place. Now, that's the revelation upon his own. And Moses had that revelation. We are confronted by one who knows authority. Being truly gentle, he was empty of personal feeling, and he neither defended himself nor got stirred up. That's a very important point, Claire. Very important point. He didn't defend himself, nor let the people get him riled up. It's so easy to you take it personal and you get riled up. One time Moses did. He let the people got to him, and maybe we're going to cover that before this year end. Moses was told to speak to the rock, and then he got angry with the people. The people he let the people got under his skin and frustrated him. He took it personal. And God God took notice of that. And God had to judge Moses because he took authority personal. All right? He struck the rock. You know how the story goes. We're going to get into a little more detail as we go. Then he told them, Jehovah will show who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he shall choose will he cause to come near unto him. So Moses doing two things here. He let him know who's in authority, really. And he let him know who's going to do the judging and the choosing. It was not necessary to strive. What do you mean? It was not necessary to strive. It was not necessary for Moses to take a position and try to do something to defend himself or even to defend God. God needs no defense. So it wasn't up to him to strive. Moses did not dare say anything for himself. Why? Because he knew that the Lord would show who was his. God always knew who was his. And Moses operated in such a facet that he kept God always in authority. He never showed any personal feeling, and he never tried to defend himself. You really don't know how important this is, what I'm saying yet, until you put in that position of authority when you have to respond a certain way and be careful not to put yourself in God's way. Moses could have put himself in God's way, and then God will have to judge the people and Moses. No, you got to be careful as authority. So it would be better to let God do the distinguishing. What distinguishing? Who's this man in authority? Moses did not try to prove his position of authority, but God the one that has to prove his position or who's in authority. Moses had faith, and thus he dared to trust everything to God. That's the mark of a mature person that's in authority. Now, the Bible talks about putting novices in position. Oh, how important that lesson is. And when you're in authority and God has matured you enough to know his ways and to understand how he functions as in authority, then you'll be careful. You'll be careful in all your ways not to do anything on your own, but to put all your trust in everything to God. The Lord would give his judgment the next morning when they all came before him with incense. See, that was Moses had a sign. Moses told him, he said, tomorrow God gonna show you who's here. Then he assigned Aaron to get incense. And each one of them going to take their incense. It was a showdown, I'm telling you. God was going to show them who was his and who weren't his, who were right. Sometimes people always got a question. The whole thing about authority sometimes, when authority is challenged, you might not hear it said, but it all boils down to whenever there's a crisis going on with authority, who is right and who was wrong. That was the whole situation here. They wanted to tell Moses, you handled this thing wrong. You ain't took us out of a land of milk and honey. You, far as I know, you're doing this thing all wrong. And so they had the idea of what was right and what was wrong. But God's supernatural. God's supernatural. God don't panic on a situation like that. And Moses didn't panic. He didn't panic to the point where he tried to defend himself and make himself look like he was defending God. No, you can't do that. Let God be God. Let God be God. So Moses didn't judge the thing himself, but he told him to wait till the next morning. Now, let's stop at that point, wait till the next morning. Now, that next morning mean the day after today. You know what that means. He said, "Let you have enough time to think about what you're doing." God, the Bible says God always gives up a space to repent. That those hours that he gave them would hope that they will come to themselves and come to realization that they were wrong and Moses was right, or God was had the right leadership in position, and all they had to do was let God do the leading through Moses. But those 24 hours, or however how many hours there were, looked like didn't make a difference to those people. We're going to find out as we read on. So with that being said, I'm going to make this statement. When you think you're right, you think you're right. It been stamped in you so deep that it's hard to be turned another way. And that's a dangerous position to be. Hard to be turned away. You get to a place where you've got to the point where you got no way out. You didn't lay all your cards down and saying, this is what we're gonna do, and this is what we're gonna do. You show your hand. And now your heart is so corrupted with rebellion that God has to judge this thing himself. He wished he could have used Moses, the thing Moses did, the prostration on the ground. Honestly, if you don't turn authority, that would have been enough for me. I'm telling you. If the apostle had to deal with something, and I'm like Aaron or one of those serving him, and he prostrated himself on the ground before the people, you know what I'm doing? My goodness, I'm prostrating myself too. My goodness. I'll know for myself that if apostle on the ground before God, man, something going on here. This is serious business here. But some of them didn't have the idea of what was happening. They were so blind, they didn't pay any attention to what Moses' reaction was. That would have affected any person with any good sense, good spiritual sense. But when the heart is hard, when the person's heart is hard in rebellion, their eyes are blind to what authority says or does. My goodness, don't ever let your heart get like that hard and dull and your eyes blind. No, God can't help you then. They got to the place where God couldn't, well, Moses, neither God could help them. They had turned away from following him. And so. Moses' words were meek, but yet they were weighty. Weighty. This is what Moses said. He said, you take too much upon yourself, you sons of Levi. Was the sign of an old man who well knew God. Now, that's my point about having mature leadership. You know, it's the sign of a man who well knew God. Moses well knew God. Moses had been in some tight spots with God. And he knew how God respond, and he knew the heart of God. When you know the heart of God, I'm saying like apostle, you operate in reverential fear. The fear of the Lord comes upon you. And a man that knows God operates in reverential fear. And that fear puts you in a position all by yourself. All right? Now we've got to the point where the characteristic was proven, how Moses responded. We want to go to the next point that we're going to look at Moses. We're calling it exaltation and restoration. This is another character, another characteristic of Moses when you come to dealing with crisis and positions that you encounter in authority. Exaltation and restoration. That's the mark of a man who knows authority. He's always looking for a way of exaltation and a way of restoration. I've seen this over the years in the apostle many times, exaltation and restoration. It's the mark of a man that knows God, and the apostle knows God. And so we're going to see this exemplified in Moses, and it's going to help us to understand how authority is supposed to respond. You see, when facing crisis, when facing rebellious challenges, how authority is supposed to respond. Now, let's understand this now. Moses exhorted Korah with words as to restore him. He wanted to, the whole point is, try to get them to see the error of their ways. Try to get them to understand the error of their ways. And God, that's what God wants. He will always want you to be able to see the position he put you in and what he called you for. And at the same time, how you should, maybe you should learn to respond differently from exaltation. Exaltation was God's way of saying, I put you in certain places. I brought you up in this position for a certain reason because I saw something in you. You hear what I'm saying? God, he said, I saw something in you that qualified you to be in this position. You see, you just didn't get to do what you're doing in the assembly of the congregation just by accident. Let me see what Moses said. It was not by accident that your pastor or your leader put you in a certain position. Evidently, there was something in you, or God appointed you to do a certain work as a delegate authority. So sometimes people get in the position of authority and they get beside themselves and they think they're equal with the person in whom put them in authority. And they think, now mind me now what I'm saying, they think they're doing that authority a favor by them being there. Oh my, listen to that. You understand what I'm saying? They sometimes feel that you're lucky you got me. And I don't know how to say it differently. But they get confused when God appointed them to something. That's why people get high-minded, my goodness. And authority go over their head sometimes. And they can't handle things right. And sometimes God got to deal with that high-mindedness. And so God put people in the position sometimes maybe there's a chance they're corrected and they'll see the error of their thoughts and their mind and the position that their soul is walking in. And I could use them if they learn to obey and submit and humble themselves. God always got you in position to get some things out of you, to perfect you, to do the work of the kingdom. But if you don't handle your position right, and God will get you out of the way. Sometimes God will permit tests. Your pastor may test you in some position. I remember. Oh, no. I remember. And so many things, so many situations that I was placed in doing my experience with my apostle. In certain position, you know, he put you in. And God put him in to prove you, to test you, to see what was in your heart. One particular time, I was trying to think of some things. One particular time, when I first started the ministry, he put me with the children's church. And all these little children, man, look, my goodness, I didn't think I would be teaching no children. My mind was to teach grown-ups in chairs. But now I'm stuck with these little children in the children's church, and these children running around grabbing your leg and throwing spitballs and paper all over the children's church room. And boy, I'm getting vexed on the inside. I said, my God, I said, I don't know if I can handle this. God put me in that situation for a reason, to test me, to prove me. See, you can't go to one level unless you pass another level. And some people will always go straight to the top. You don't know everything apostle passed through. You know, he was talking the other day about how his pastor used to serve communion. He would preach at every house. He said he would just go there and help him. He just sit there and watch him preach. He don't know what people's going through to be where they are. But he passed every test. He submitted to his authority of his pastor and did whatever he did. He was told to do or asked to do or what he didn't ask to do. What I mean didn't ask to do, his heart to serve. This has a servant heart. And so I'm in the children's church. And then I kind of say it to myself. I said, Lord, I thought you were going to kind of use me different than this children's church. Because I had dreams and vision of me teaching people. You know, I saw people in classroom, had a vision of it. people, and I said, well, God called me to teach people in the classroom. And I'm stuck with these children now. And I felt like I said, Lord, I'm not anointed for this. I was all crossed up. Them children crossed me up, and my soul was crossed up because I didn't know what God was doing. And then finally, I had the wild idea to pray for those children. And then I would pray. I said, Lord, I pray for every one of these children. And then I had a special prayer. I would pray all the time. And guess what happened? The love of God fell in my heart for those children. Oh, my goodness. I began to love those children. And they began to tell me what they began to talk to me like I was ministering to grown people. And then I made this statement. I said, Lord, I found my calling. You called me to teach these children. I'm ready to do this for the rest of my life. And right after that class, not long after that, Apostle moved me to the youth. And then I get to the youth, and I wasn't ready for the youth. The youth was the in-between age group, and these youth looked like to me they were too young to be old and too old to be young. They're like they were crossed. They were going through so many little changes. And I said, oh, God, I wish I was back in the children's church. I said, these youth still crossed up. I don't know what to do with them. I forgot what God did the other time. I said, I don't know what to do with these youth. And so the wild idea came to me again. Pray for them. And then because they were all disturbed. I mean, they were disturbed. They were disturbing me. And they didn't know who they were and what they wanted to be. And so, but I'm still stuck wanting to be in the children's church. And in my heart, boy, I was crossed up. And then I said to myself, I'm going to pray for these children. And I began to pray for those youth. And those youth, I mean, almost instantly, a love fell in my heart for those youth. Man, they'll begin to tell me their little personal struggles they were going through. And I would tell them, you know, giving them answers through the word of God. And they began to listen. And when I they will start responding to what I was teaching them. And then know what I said? I said, Lord, I found my calling. I said, I finally found my calling. You called me to teach the youth. My goodness. And like I would be anointed for them. I would go there with a special message just for them. And man, I love it. Man, I love it. And when I got situated, the pastor moved me again. And then it hit me. It hit me. Hit me like a brick falling from the sky on the head. I said, I understand this thing now. I said, you got to stick with it until you learn to love it. That's how promotion comes. Love what you're doing. Sometimes your path may put you in a position and you might not think you called for that. Oh, my goodness. You might not think you called for that. But I learned that God got to put you in it to put some things in you and take some things out of you. And that's what leadership is all about. God is testing you. He put the position on me and that's your calling? No, that we need you to do at a time. So he needed me to do that at the time. At the same time, God needed me to be trained in that area at the time. I don't mean to stay here too long, but I'm trying to show you some things about leadership. And so I had to make some changes of heart as I went along. But these men here that we're talking about, they thought they were irreplaceable and thought they spoke for God, but they didn't. They thought they were equal with Moses, but they weren't. God separated Moses unto himself. He said, I have no man on the face of this earth who have a meeker heart, a meeker spirit than Moses. I trust him with my whole heart. He's faithful in my whole house. And so now God got to deal with these people here. I didn't mean to stay there too long, class. I did. But I wanted to show you an example of what happened to these people here. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let them put you in a position. Don't let your pastor, your leader put you in a position, and then you think you're equal, or you think you got a voice. No, you can be put in and you can be put out. You can be put in, you can be put out a position. Yes. Humble yourself and learn what God is trying to do when he puts you in certain positions. I'll tell you, that lesson will take you a long way. It'll show you how to serve better, show you how to submit better, show you how to keep your soul better. And to show you how to, when you don't understand something, you pray. Ask God to give you understanding. All right? Keep your mouth shut and keep your heart open. What I said? Keep your mouth shut and keep your heart open. So, now these people here, Moses began to exalt them. And look what he said. Look what he said. I'm going to read what he said. Hear now, you sons of Levi. Seem it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you to near to him to do the service of the tabernacle of Jehovah and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Is it a small thing, God said? You took this thing too light. You know, I put my name on the line when I position you in certain places. My goodness, catch the lesson here. Catch the lesson. Catch the lesson. And seek ye the priesthood also. My goodness, he's talking about Aaron's position. They were coming against Moses and Aaron. You want Aaron's position? See, Moses didn't position Aaron. God positioned Aaron along with Moses. He told him when he got his call. And Aaron gonna be your mouthpiece. He's gonna serve you through me. I'm gonna speak to you and you speak to Aaron, and Aaron gonna speak to the people. So God commissioned Aaron. And so they won't seek the priesthood also, Moses told him. Seek ye the priesthood also? My goodness. Oh my goodness. Therefore, thou and all the company are gathered together against Jehovah and Aaron. And what is he that you murmured against him? You see, exaltation is not an expression of lordliness. Rather, does it disclose meekness. Rather, it discloses meekness. You see it? Let me explain that statement. Exaltation is not an expression of lordliness. In other words, Moses didn't say this as being lord over them. He tried to show them the position that God put them in, and they should rather be honored for what God has done than rather than be high-minded of their position and know that God, I don't like to use the word took a chance with them, because God don't take no chance. God positioned them in that position for a reason. I read that statement. God put you in your position for a reason. How you handle it, it depends on you. And what the outcome is depends on you. Ah, my goodness. Ah, my goodness. I'm going to tell you the proof of a submitted heart. How long can you serve continually under your leader? How long can you serve continually? I hope you catch what I'm saying. How long can you serve continually upon your leader and you're still there when all said and done? How long can you walk with your leader and still be faithful? Oh my, let me say it again. How long can you walk with your leader and still remain faithful after many years? Remain faithful. That's the mark of someone who has learned authority. My goodness. Because your leader's not going to always be lovey-dovey with you. Your leader's going to say something to correct you. They're going to say something to make you mad sometime. Sometimes God trying and testing you, see what's in your heart. But no, sometimes people get offended. Put the tail between his legs like a little dog and run off. And then go somewhere else and say, Lord, call me over here now. The Lord ain't doing all these calling over here and over there and over here and over there. No, God called people to stick with their leaders. If there's any other change, the leader's gonna do some appointing. I believe that. I believe if God got anything else for me to do, my pastor's gonna appoint me. And just like I obeyed all the other years, I'll obey it to the rest of my life. Amen. So be it. So be it. Amen. I don't know how else to say it, Claire. I put myself in that position to honor my leader, submit to my authority, to understand authority. and to know to who and what I'm called, and to stay in your position and understand what you're supposed to be doing at this time, and watch the vision and understand what he is doing at this time, even if you don't understand it all. You go with the flow. You see it? You see it? If you understood everything, you would be him or her. Oh, you're not gonna ever understand everything. But when your heart is right toward him, God will keep you in the know and keep you in the flow. All right, I said that, let me move on. But he will allow. Now let me read this other statement. I never finished reading this statement. Exaltation is not an expression of lordliness. Rather does it disclose meekness. He who persuades the people in return to attack is truly a meek person. He who persuades in return for attack. In other words, Moses was trying to persuade the people at this particular time. Said, no, you got this whole thing wrong. You're seeing this thing wrong. God put you in the position for a reason. Why are you attacking me? I didn't position myself. I didn't do none of this stuff on my own. God is doing it. Follow what I'm doing. Then you'll know what God is doing. Listen to what I'm saying. Then you know what God is doing. See what I'm seeing. Then you know what God is doing. Trust me what I'm doing. Trusting me that I'm following God. And with this idea in mind, a holy persuasion can come over you. And that's what Moses was trying to do. Moses was putting a holy persuasion on them, trying to protect them from what he saw down the road that they was about to do to themselves. He knew that they were about to destroy themselves ignorantly, but that we could not. This just didn't have to be the will of God for them. God could have spared them, had mercy upon them, and made some other correction instead of destroying them off the face of the earth forever. Moses was trying to persuade them to get to a place of repentance where they won't have to go through this, and saying, believe in the prophet. Believe in the prophet. So shall you prosper. He was trying to get them to prosper. He was trying to prosper them. And he was trying to persuade in return for their attack. You thought he would attack for their attack. But no, he tried to use persuasion instead of their attack. My goodness, hope you see this, class. And I've got but one more statement to make. Then I got to close. My time is run out for the day. But he who allows people to be in the wrong without any intention of restoring them proves his heart to be hard and does not truly understand authority. Moses was one, class, that he put himself aside. He got out the way, and all his attention was to help the people to get out of their wrong. But if someone allows people to be in the wrong, then their heart is not right. Their intentions are wrong. They're operating on themselves. Or they won't know how they come out. Sparing themselves. But God had a different man in Moses. God put himself and Moses into a position where he had Moses' very heart. Class, I wish I could have got further today, but I didn't. I hope you understand these things we're talking about. And so what we're going to take up next time, class, I'm going to try to take up right here to continue what we're saying. You've been a good class, and I enjoy teaching this afternoon. So go in peace and be blessed. Amen.